you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Two.
Again, it's got to be like Wayne's World. You got to go 5, 4, 3.
That's not Wayne's World.
Yes, it is Wayne's World.
Well, it may be on Wayne's World, but I guarantee that was not invented. What, the 5, 4 was not invented on Wayne's World.
It's a bit on Wayne's World where they talk about how you, Mr. B, I bring up bits from comedy movies all the time. I finally do it once. You gotta be like, you gotta shit on it.
I'm not trying to shit on it. I was just trying to say the counting down of 5 to 1 cannot. I'm sorry, I cannot allow Wayne's World to claim that the counting getting silent at 3. No, TV production all over the world. When I'm getting Rebecca to film things, when I'm doing little auditions, I go, okay, 5, 4, and that's what we do. She has never seen Wayne's World once, Lewis.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the bit. Let the bit be the bit. What are you gonna fucking? You're coming in, you're dressed like a fucking Russian card player, and then you're shitting all over my bits. Let the bit just be a bit.
Whoa! Hold on a minute. I'm not shitting on you, am I? Do you know what I mean? Why am I dressed like a Russian card player? I don't know what's going on. I think I'm cold because I'm freezing cold. I've got chills. I've turned the air conditioning off.
I hope it's COVID.
I need a jacket. I hope it is COVID. Thank you. I have 3 children, Lewis. You know, you think you're a big deal because you got one kid and you fucking, you know, you got one kid. Times that by 3, bro. And I had a wife in. I have people that depend on me, but you want me to get COVID. Thank you.
I love my one child more than you love any of your children. You have to spread your love evenly throughout 3 children. So I just want you to know that, you know, I'm just letting you, the love that I feel for my son and what he gets from me is actually of more value than what each of your children get.
It's threefold, is it?
No, it's onefold. Your children get 1/3 the love. That's what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. So no, but you're saying that James's love is threefold what my children get.
Technically, yeah.
All right. Okay. Good to know. So we've just started. You're talking shit about how I dress. You're talking shit about my fathering skills. What else you got, Lewis?
If you would have just let me have the Wayne's World bit, we could have just moved on.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I don't know when this is going to come out because we're in some weird vortex right now where we're going to do the show on a Sunday night.
It's a vortex. Okay.
Hence why I have a beer in my hand, right? And I've taken some pain pills because I'm in pain. It's the end of the day. So if this show goes off the rocker, off its tits, that's why. Because you want to do the show late at night because Lewis, you know, you big mogul, man, is too busy on a Monday for Believe You Me. So we have to do it on a Sunday night. And I got to say, Lewis, you know, I was having my reservations, but I thought, no, I got to respect Lewis. He comes on. We're going to do a short show, guys. I'm tired. It's late here.
I hate it.
Whoa.
I hate Sunday nights. I want it. We've done it before. We did have fun. Well, here's what happened. We had fun one time on a Sunday night, and we were like, we got to do it Sunday. It's
going
to be great.
You suggested it going forward.
Yes.
Wasn't we, you.
You also said you had fun on that Sunday. Did you not?
I did say that because in the evenings I can take a little drinky poo-poo and it does make it a little easier to talk to you. But still, it wasn't my suggestion to go forward all the time on a Sunday night. But to make your life easier, your life, I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I'll entertain it. Harrington moved his life around. He is a busy man. Brian, you know, shows all over the place. He's doing it. We're trying to accommodate you, bud. That's all we're doing here.
Yeah, my Mondays are insane. My Mondays, I don't have a minute to breathe. And here's what happens, okay? If one thing runs late on Monday, it's a chain reaction of everything running late on Monday. And it just, it when I have to be on, when everything has to be on time and everything has to be perfect, it's all but guaranteed that something's going to go wrong. So very often, I show up to the show, I'm discombobulated, I'm all over the place, I'm just walking in the door. As soon as I end this show, sometimes we have to end early. I'm like, dude, I got to run out the door right after. It's too much. So for this, for the quality of the show, not for me, not to make my life easier. I've been doing this shit for fucking years. But for the quality of the show, for my respect to my partner, for respect to my production team, the audience that listens to this show, not the fans, the supporters and the listeners of this show, I said, you know what? Let's change it to Sunday nights so we can give a better quality performance.
Well, I was going to say,
me up. Hey, string me up. Why not?
No, I'm a piece of that's shit. Fine. That's fine. Better quality performance, shorter show. Okay. I'm sure the fans would have 95% performance, an extra hour of dialogue, an extra hour of show. You showed up on the first night, the debut night, the debut, right? We all moved it around for you. You show up. Okay, guys, listen, here's the deal. I don't get it. I'm only messing with you, buddy. I'm only busting your balls. But you're like, guys, I'm fucking exhausted. We're going to make this a short one.
I didn't say we're going to make it a short
blown.
Show.
Mind fucking blown. Hey, don't you think I got things to do on a Sunday night? It's the weekend. I have three kids. They've got an absent father right now. This is 6:30. This is prime time fathering on a Sunday. This is brushing teeth. This is reading books. This is doing all these types of things, making a difference, being at the end of the bed, you know what I mean, and not being creepy with it at all, you know. But I'll give up all of that talk to you guys, but I am faced with the opening comment, guys, got to keep it short tonight because it's so
well, actually, bad. What happened was I showed up and Brian was like, hey, if you guys want to do it tomorrow, let's do it tomorrow. Harrington's not even here. Harrington's producing another show while he does the show. If he were to hit the camera right now, you would see him in the back of some fucking shitty comedy club in Bumblefuck, Pennsylvania, somewhere right now. Okay. So, yeah, there he is. Look. Please, Harrington, turn your fucking microphone off. Please.
Yeah. Never do that again, Harrington, right? You got the shades on top of your head. You got the hood on. You got the mask on. All right. It's great. But guess what? Epic fail, brother.
He's trying to prove going something.
On with the Wi-Fi in Pennsylvania. It is not working. Yeah, no, listen. You know, because obviously Mondays, I get it, is a busy day for you. So you said that. And I was like, all right, well, so we'll do Sundays. But I kind of like doing it on a Monday, if I'm honest, because Sunday is weekend. There's going to be weddings. There's going to be christenings. There's going to be birthdays. There's going to be epic Saturday nights that roll over on occasion.
I wish it was an into epic Saturday. I performed last night in Worcester, Pennsylvania. Shout out to all the believers that showed up to that show. But it wasn't even a crazy night. I was in bed by midnight last night. I'm just a fucking old man. I don't know what happened to me, but I just can't, like, I'm never awake past midnight anymore. Like, I never.
I shouldn't say that. I always go to bed very, very early. But I've said this before. Like, it's getting earlier and earlier. Now it's in the sixes. Now it's in the sixes. I'm like, 6:45. Well, what the fuck? Let's get to bed. But all that means is we adjourn to the boudoir. And then, you know, we crack some wine. We watch some TV. We watch our shows. You know what I mean? Right now, we just finished watching a show called Ratched on Netflix.
I saw that. Yeah, Netflix.
Pretty good. Pretty Was good. It? I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what's up. But yeah, that's the only thing. So, and all I simply said was coming in today. And I said jokingly, I was like, we'll do a short show. But then Brian jumped on board. Harrington's not even here mentally. You're an attraction. You look like you want to go on a run. So I was trying to accommodate everybody.
I'm committed. I come to this fucking fully awake. I've taken a pre-workout. I'm ready to rock. Do you know what I mean? I've got multiple alcoholic drinks.
Yeah, but it's 6 o'clock
drinks.
In LA. If it was 10 o'clock, it's a different story.
Hey. You organized it. You suggested it, buddy. I was like, okay, sure, I'll do that. Or I like doing the show on a Monday. I get up in the morning, I take my time, I do my news, I do my emails, then I have a good workout. Then I come back, I shower and stuff, then I do the show. It's a nice start to my Monday. If you want to go back to Mondays, we can go back to Mondays. But the only thing I like about this is because when we do the show on a Monday, it realistically comes out midnight, you know, New York time. So realistically, for the rest of the world, it comes out on Tuesday.
You know what I'm saying? And at the weekend, we have all the mixed martial arts madness. We have all the fights. We have the big stories. And sometimes by Tuesday, I feel like we've missed the mark a little bit. You know, some of the other publications or podcasts, they've got their takes out there, and we're kind of the last to the party. So I do like the Sunday, but whatever. We'll see how we go. We'll figure it out. Maybe you guys let us know what you prefer, but there you go. That's us. That's what's going on right now. This is stupid. It is stupid. And I'm going to get ridiculed for saying it, Lewis. And what? I already sensed the ridicule from you, but I was reading an article earlier that featured one Miss Cardi B, right? Mm. And I'm not knocking Cardi B. I'm sure she's a very smart woman. She's very successful.
Don't you disrespect Cardi.
I am not. I would never disrespect Cardi.
Mm.
Cardi B or Cardi C?
Cardi B.
Oh, yeah. No, fuck Cardi C. She's a cunt. Cardi B.
That's what C stands hand. For.
Yeah, it is what it stands for. I like what you Cardi did there. No. Old Cardi, in her infinite wisdom, has come out with quite the hypothesis, Lewis. Obviously, I don't know if you've been living under a rock, but President Trump has developed the coronavirus. Not developed, he's caught it. He's caught the coronavirus, obviously. You know, the whole mask thing. I don't know, maybe that was a part of it. Whatever, who cares? We're not getting into that. But Cardi B said, no. I don't think that Trump got the coronavirus. Okay, he ain't got no virus.
This is actually racist, but can I continue?
Why? That's what, coronavirus? That's what she says, right? Say it.
I don't know what she sounds like.
Coronavirus. What's wrong with that? That's what you, is that racist?
The president got the coronavirus, homie.
Oh, you know, I don't even think that Trump got the fucking virus. You know what I'm saying?
She's saying he doesn't think he got it.
She said, I was just reading a story on Twitter before and it just kind of made me laugh. Yeah, because of all the backlash he's getting, because he didn't. To some people, he didn't denounce the white supremacists enough. And I'm trying to be careful because I know people are split down the sides. But anyway, so you know what I'm talking about, because he didn't denounce the white supremacists enough, which he could have done a better job of, but whatever, we'll leave that there.
Yeah, he could have chosen better words.
What could she have chose?
Well, no, he could have.
Oh, no, he could have for so, sure.
Will you denounce white supremacy? He's like,
yes, say, stand by, stand back.
Stand down, relax. But
just chill, boys.
But be there.
Take it easy. But might be calling for you. Might be calling for you, but, you know. Anyways, she's saying that he's getting a lot of shit for that now. So now she thinks he's faking the coronavirus. She's and actually, if you break it down and think about it, that would be genius. Because right now, nobody's talking about that white supremacy stuff anymore. They're all talking about the fact that Trump has got coronavirus. And
they're going to be talking about Trump being a white supremacist as long as he's in office until the day he dies, probably.
Oh, yeah.
There's no upside. Trump did the fucking egg on the face moment of Trump catching coronavirus after downplaying it and after having big rallies with people. It makes him look bad. It does not make him look good.
Yes. Or, because he's all about, oh, it's not a big deal. It's a hoax, right? You don't need to wear a mask. Never mind it. Fuck the virus. No big deal. Let's just imagine this possibility for a second, that he hasn't got the virus. It's all fake and lies. And he's going to beat it in a few days. He's 74 years old. He's a little bit overweight. And he said, look at that. I told you, this virus is no big fucking deal.
Well, Trump, that's going to happen for sure. But
Trump,
he
the fucking
definitely
hero. 74 years old. I beat this shit. No problem. Fuck this. Reopen the schools. Let's go.
Well, that's for sure going to happen. He's going to beat it. And he's going, because whether you're Trump or anybody else, even if you're 74 years old, the average person has like a 98, 99% chance of beating it if you're 75 years old. So yeah, more than likely he's going to beat it. And he's going to use it to his advantage and go, see, look, it's not that big of a deal. But it makes him look bad, right? There's no upside in him getting this. It makes him look like he's stupid. He has to look like a hypocrite. There's just no, you know, the Cardi B's theory that like here's the thing, him not denouncing
just you saying Cardi B's theory makes me shudder, but continue.
But him not quote unquote denouncing white supremacy, which he has done a million times. Like he does do that. So they say that it doesn't do it, but that's not true. But for him not denouncing white supremacy only plays into his base. They don't want to fucking, they don't want to see him bend the knee and fucking, you know, that's not his, it's not like he lost voters because he didn't say, you know what, I'm completely against white supremacy. These Proud Boys are pieces of shit. Do you think anybody went, you know what, that was going to vote for him? You know what? He should have done that. I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. Not at all. But now he looks really fucking stupid. And they get to throw that into his face over and over and over again. So I don't really, I can't connect the dots with Cardi B's theory.
No, no, listen, and it's Cardi B. She's a fucking rapper. I think she was in prison. She's, you know, listen, I'm just saying, I was just reading Twitter. I was bored on a Sunday, Lewis, killing time before the show, trying to find topics. And it just made me laugh that Cardi B's coming out there with that shit. But did you see they had doctors outside the White House on Friday and on Saturday? And CNN, obviously, that's what they're trying to do. CNN are trying to rip the fucking president to little bits, you know what I mean, on anything that they can do. So they got the doctors on the Friday, what they're saying, and they're comparing it to what the doctors are saying on the Saturday. And they don't necessarily stack up, right? So they're picking fault, and they say, oh, look at this. There's weaknesses in the story here. There's things happening. And then we got Cardi B saying he hasn't got it. And we all know Cardi B carries a lot of weight in the politics world. So there's definitely something to it. And then today he's out and he's driving up and down the streets, waving at all the people. Cause there's a lot of Trump supporters. They've all got the flags and stuff like that. And he wanted to go out there, which fair play to him, respect, wanted to go out and say thank you to everybody that's showing their support. But to do that, he had to get into a car, right, and drive up and down whichever street it was. I keep wanting to say Pennsylvania Avenue, but that's the White House. He wasn't at the White House, right? For him to do that, so he's in a car. He's locked in with other people, Lewis. Locked in with other people, bulletproof. And also, that car that he was in, according to the article that I read, you can't penetrate it with gas attacks either. So the air that is in there is recirculated. That's what everyone has to breathe. So there's like three or four other people in there. So I'm just saying, Cardi B might be right. Because if everyone in that car doesn't get coronavirus, no fucker's got coronavirus.
I'm sure there's an answer to it. I'm sure we don't fucking know.
I
watch CNN, like they're breaking down the video. Like, it's so funny. Like they're like, here's the president, here's Kellyanne Conway, and they have all these people, and they start to like highlight the people that all like got it, and they're starting to show everyone and where they were seated at this one rally. And I'm going like, why aren't you doing that with the protests then? Like, if this is such a big deal to you, why are you just highlighting? It's such a CNN. They're so just blindly like on one side of it. It's just, watch it. Same thing with Fox News. It's both of them. It was very funny because after the debates, and we didn't even talk about it, and I don't want to, but no. I was just flipping back and forth between CNN and Fox News just to watch their reactions. And CNN, they're going like, oh, it's an atrocity. President Trump is the worst president ever. This is the worst debate I've ever seen. And then you switch over to Fox News and they're like, Trump showed him what was what, and he really held his own ground. He was aggressive, and funny.
It is hilarious because obviously I commentate for the UFC, and much like you with comedy, you end up in these weird random towns, right? I'm always in somewhere fucking new, not lately, but generally, you know, with no virus, and so you're at this weird hotel, and you just gotta, you know, you're at the mercy of whatever TV channels they have. So, you know, you put it on, and sometimes, you know, there's CNN, sometimes there's Fox News or whatever. Sometimes there's both. And just recently, I remember I was like, this is crazy. And it was one push of a button. You got a completely different take. Yes. Like day and night, different take. It's so funny. Those motherfuckers, they all need shooting. And I don't know. Maybe shooting them is a bit much, but they're all full of shit.
They are all full of shit. Exactly. And it's offensive. So when I turn that on, I watch it, and it's honestly the same way that I felt about the debates. You could just tell they're both lying. They're both saying the political thing, and I go like, am I supposed to trust these people? You have to just opt out. They're all fucking liars, dude. It's really a psychotic thing. It really, like,
they are all liars, and anybody that is interested in politics certainly didn't come here to hear about it. Yeah. So I guess we'll fucking leave that there. It was just funny. I just saw Cardi B saying that, and I don't know. I just read it literally, and we're doing a podcast, and I've had a few beers and a pain pill. So fuck it. We're going to talk Cardi B the entire show. So just fucking deal with it.
Let's just break down our albums. All right, really quick, Mike, we must thank mybookie.ag, which is an incredible sponsor on this show. First of all, you guys love sports. If you listen to this show, you love mixed martial arts, already the most exciting sport in the world. If you want to find a way to make the most exciting sport in the world that much more exciting. Go put a little bit of cash at mybookie.ag.
Yeah, you're sitting there every fight and you're saying, I know who's going to win this, okay? And you fancy yourself as some kind of MMA analyst. Maybe you're a Sunday quarterback. Maybe you sit on the couch and you know what plays the coaches should be making. If you're that guy, or even if you're not that guy, maybe you just have an inkling. Maybe you just feel very strongly that a certain team or player or fighter is going
to
win.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Don't listen to us. Do not listen to me or Michael Bisping, because what you've noticed in the past few weeks is that we are terrible at making picks. What you need to do is you need to listen to one Brian McKay, because Brian McKay has gone, I think, like 13 fights in a row without missing one.
Listen, the fights are a 50-50 bet. It's as simple as that. It's a 50-50. It's a 2-1. You know what I'm saying? He merely picked right. That's all it was. It was purely coincidental. But rejoice, because now it is time to celebrate the NFL season. Invest in your intuition. Use a promo code BELIEVE and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports that you love and the games that you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting for you at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Use the promo code BELIEVE and double your first deposit. Your winning season starts today, but only at MyBookie.ag, and use that promo code BELIEVE. Okay, where were we? What else have you been up to, Lewis? You were saying you were showing James some scary movies, with it being the Halloween season.
Yeah, we're in this, he's at this age now, he's seven, and he's still a little bit of a pussy when it comes down to like scary things. With the Six Flags Fright Fest, like he's really scared of like the killer clowns that are running around. Like he, you know, and the imagery, the horror music will get to him still. So I'm trying to find things for him that are a little bit more in the horror category, that aren't like, you know, kids horror movies like Hocus Pocus or, you know, like Halloween movies, but in the you know, moving more into the horror genre. Cause I grew up in horror movies, Bisping. Like in my household, we had no filter. I'm sure when I was his age, I could rent the most perverse horror movies you could possibly think of. I'm assuming
when I was 4 years old, it was all fucking Nightmare on Elm Street, Night of the Living Dead. Oh, and I was fucking terrified. I was telling him a story to Lucas just recently, because he's so cute. He's 10 years old, but when he leaves our bedroom at night and goes to his room, he still sprints like crazy across the landing because of the dark, right? And every time I'm like, it just melts my heart, right? It's so cute. And I was telling him about when I used to go to, you know, when I grew up, there was a little corner shop called Tunnies, you know. The corner shop sold milk, bread, but little things like that. And every night in our house at 10 p.m. or at night, there would always be tea and toast, but we never had milk. So my mom or dad, I'd always be the one, I was the youngest, that would get sent to the shop right before it shut. It was, oh shit, it's 3 minutes to 10. Quick, Michael, run
and
up there.
Get
a. I was like six, something like that.
That's really young to send a kid to a corner store.
No, I know. And I was fucking terrified. And I was telling Lucas that I'd walk out the door and like the main part from my street to the end of my street was black. But then once you got there, there were some street lights. I was like, ah! And I'd just run as fast as I could. You know what I mean? And then when I got back to that part on the way back, same thing. And I always thought Freddy Krueger was going to jump out. And I was telling Lucas, I said, but guess what, Lucas? No Freddy Krueger. No Freddy Krueger there, buddy. A lot of pedophiles, though. A lot of rapists, a lot of murderers.
Well, Freddy Krueger was a pedophile, by the way.
No Freddy Krueger. What movie did you go with?
So we ended up watching Jaws is the scariest one we've gone with so far.
I have in Callum's room a picture, the poster in a frame of the Jaws movie above his bed. See, like if I spin this round here,
the big shark underneath the girl.
Yeah, it's a sick poster, right? It's a classic movie poster. If I was to spin this camera around now, there's a still, you know, obviously I've changed it now, but the, you know, I used to have like some of my favorite movies in posters. I can see The Shining, there's Trainspotting, you know, there's Reservoir Dogs and so on and so forth. And I took some of them down. So when Callum was away in college, when he went away, I put a few up for him. And every time he comes back, I'm like, there you go. Some of your favorite movies. He's like, Dad, I've never seen Lord of the Rings. I've never seen Jaws. And I've never seen fucking Gladiator. So they're not my favorite movies. Can you take them down, please? Did James like Jaws?
James really did like Jaws. And it was, you know, it's funny. I I maybe saw Jaws when I was his age. I don't remember it at all. And I really liked it. It was actually really good, because what's kind of funny, it's interesting about Jaws, is they don't show the shark until the end of the movie because it was too expensive. It was like a big animatronic shark, right? So they shot everything with just really good music, acting, like all the murder, all the like the shark attacks, like the people get pulled underneath the water. You just sort of see their body parts floating. But it was like intense. The music, it was the first movie I remember as a kid where like the music sort of got you in, like, oh shit. So he was.
Oh yeah. It. As a kid, yeah. Anytime you heard do 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 do, it's great fucking music.
But Friday the 13th had a similar effect. That music, you know, the
I don't know what that is. I don't know the music.
You know what Jason Voorhees?
Don't know it. Don't know it. Can't say I do. Wow. I'll tell you what, though, but you're talking about James being a pussy. Let me ask you this. Let me give you a comparison, because Lucas is a bit of a, you know, God bless him. He's a sweet kid. He doesn't like scary stuff. Neither does his mom. It pisses me off, actually.
There's a chance Lucas and James are going to date one day.
Well, let me ask you this then. Let's just have the gay off, right? Because I'm telling you, the other night I was filming, I was in my room, and every night when he goes to bed, before he sprints off through the darkness, when he walks out, he walks backwards like this. Like that, because he thinks it's funny, because he gets a reaction, and it is funny, and it does get a reaction. But I started filming the other day, and I put on, oh my God, I don't think we're ever going to get any children out of Lucas. And I was going to put it on my story. Rebecca's like, you can't do that. That's kind of homophobic. I'm like, it's not homophobic. It's just an acceptance. He's walking like he might be gay and not give his children one day. But anyway, earlier today, I'm on the couch and I put on Coneheads. You ever seen Coneheads?
Yes, probably way inappropriate though, because I remember a scene in Coneheads. The only reason I never put it on for my kid was because they have the ring sex scene, and it would be too much to explain to him.
Well, we never got that far. Lucas wouldn't have it on. Too freaky, too scary. No, Daddy, no, I don't want to watch this. He thought Coneheads was too much. I don't know where James's level is, but for Lucas, Coneheads. He was like, the fuck this, Dad. You're out of your mind if you think I'm watching this. Sickness, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I guess Coneheads, we didn't even consider that being like a scary movie. We did a Little Shop of Horror, which was fun, but that's kind of fun and silly. It's a musical. There's not
Night
really
of
many.
The Living Dead. That was a good one. You ever
the
see
original,
that?
The old school black and white one he could watch, because that one's, you know, not.
No,
super
no, I'm talking about like the one in the 80s, the real. I'm not saying one you want to show James. You do not want to show James. You know, the woman, she's dancing with the head and stuff. It's fucking scary. Movie.
And I mean this. There was no film. My mom, it was at ShopRite Video. That was like the shitty video store. It was like Blockbuster was what, you know, the rich people got. We went to ShopRite Video. It was rent to get one free. So my mom would rent herself two movies, and she would throw me and my sister the scrap. And every time, me and my sister would always rent the most horrible horror movies you could think of. Not just Freddy and Jason, which were like pretty gruesome. It wasn't even just like the gruesome, like the blood is one thing, but it's like the sex, like the nudity. There's like a lot of like drug use in these movies. So it's like, that's sort of what I'm sort of navigating right now. It's not so much just the blood, because you know it's a movie.
Well,
but to have to explain cocaine and, you know,
what was
sex.
The name of the store?
ShopRite Video.
ShopRite Video. Nah, yeah, I know it. If I recall, kind of a bougie establishment. I'm going to see your ShopRite Video and raise you. My dad was the video guy, right? On a Friday and a Saturday night, that's what he'd do. It was a mobile video shop in the trunk of the car, the boot. He'd just fill it with all the videos. He'd go pick them up from a guy, and he'd drive around, knock on the
like
doors.
Illegal copies? Or...
Yeah, illegal copies, yeah. And like, you know, £1, £2, £3, whatever it was for the week. You know, and then at the end of the day, I'd be the guy. I'd always have to be the kid that ran up and knocked on the door. And then they'd come out, they'd stand there, they'd smoke a cigarette, talk to my dad. Oh, what have you got that's new? Oh, we've got the new fucking Arnold one. We've got Commando.
Okay, so this is different. Okay. All right. So my understanding, so essentially your dad would have copies of movies that were out on video.
Yes.
And he would rent them almost door to door, like in like a court.
The video man. So
this
like,
didn't
we had
exist
the
in the
man.
States.
We had the pop man was like a guy that came with like fizzy pop, like lemonade, Cherryade, Coca-Cola, whatever.
You guys are fucking... I'm so glad America got away from you guys because you guys are ass backwards.
We had the video man that would come and knock on your door, and that was my dad and me, you know. we had the milkman, the guy that brings you fucking milk every day, and that was always good, you know, milk, eggs, orange juice. Used to rob a lot of orange juice when I was a kid off people's doorsteps in the morning. What else? Yeah, milkman, video man. You never had a video man. That's what we were doing.
What we would have is we would have a little Asian lady, and she would sell videos. She wouldn't rent them. What she would do is she would come into the pizzeria. You'd be sitting there with your friends, and they back in the day. This is fucking so old school. This is before people had cell phone cameras. This is like, you know, flip phone days, even before that. But you know, like before cell phones, people would take like an actual camcorder, bring it into the movie theater, and they would record an illegal copy of a movie that's out.
Lewis, we've seen that. We've seen that. Come on. Don't tell me you've never seen that. And you're watching like some shitty recording and then like you get the person walking to their seat. You know what I mean? Or you hear someone like opening a fucking sweet wrapper or something. You're
We would buy those bootleg videos for $5 to $10 a pop. And it was just some shitty recording in the theater. It's so funny. Like that was a thing that was like regular, but your dad's job reminded me of this little old Asian lady who would come in with a bag full of, they were DVDs at that point.
Yeah. Obviously that was the '80s. So the horror movies were always big. There was a lot of like crazy horror movies.
What's your favorite horror movie? Or maybe give it the top couple.
I don't know. Favorite horror movie. Okay. The Shining.
The Shining.
The Shining. It doesn't get better than The Shining. Come on.
Do you get scared at horror movies, actually?
Sometimes I do, but like The Shining isn't one that will make you scared. The Shining will just like kind of creep you out a little bit. There's a lot of suspense and things like that.
Yeah.
And in fact, funnily enough, that show that I just mentioned, Ratched, that's actually a spin-off from the movie One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson. Yeah.
So I was thinking of
The Shining
movie.
They're not connected whatsoever. But yeah, no, The Shining's really fucking good. When I was a kid, the Freddy Krueger movies. But I think if I watch them now, I haven't seen them in a long time. I mean, there's a lot of suspense. They're probably cheesy with bad makeup. But when you're a kid, when you're like 8 years old, seeing someone with knives for fingers and just slicing people up and taking heads off, that's scary. But as you get older,
cool,
you realize the suspense
well.
And things.
The idea, you know, the idea of like him going into your dreams, that was awesome. I grew up on those campy horror movies. So Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers, like I just loved them all. You know, Chucky, loved Chucky, Child's Play.
Yeah, Child's Play was good. I remember seeing that for the first time and I was like, whoa, this is really good. I really fucking love that one. But scary movies. Beck, what are some of your scary movies? As a kid, yeah. No, she didn't watch them. She wasn't allowed. What else weren't you allowed? She wasn't allowed milk. Sugar. She wasn't allowed sugar. No, you had powdered milk, you fucking peasants. They had powdered milk. Powdered milk, you know. Rebecca had it hard growing up, bless her. That's what she tells us. But yeah, scary movies. There you go. We'll take it easy on James. Take it easy, whatever you decide to do.
We'll do a couple more just as we get into it. Would you ever read the book Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
No.
Well, I got that today. I got that.
You read
today.
Much, Lewis? I've started reading again now. I've started reading, trying to make it a part of my day that I read.
I do audiobooks now that I'm in the car.
So the answer is no, you don't read.
Listen
to the radio.
I listen to audiobooks. Yeah, it is a better way.
You don't read.
When am I just sitting there? When the fuck can I just sit there and thumb through a book? I got to be doing other things.
Listen, we can all listen, Lewis. I know you're a media mogul. We've been through this in the last episode. You know, you're a boss. You're an entrepreneur. You're a mogul. You're a movie maker. You're
mongrel.
You're all these things. But it's important, Lewis, that you take a little time out of the day for you. You know what I mean? Of the little window, where it's just you and Lewis with your thoughts and maybe a good book. And just sit there and just lose yourself in the pages of a good book.
I mean, it's
such a powerful thing.
I read to my son daily, and then I listen to audiobooks for myself.
Which is the radio, which is like formed, pre-planned radio.
Here's what happens.
Bisping
bought a fucking book a week ago. Now this is his new thing. Just like he was vegan for a week, just like he was keto on a keto app. It's just his flavor of the week now. Now he's a reader, everyone. Bisping the reader.
No. Bisping trying to expand my horizons a little bit.
Give me five books that you've read in your life.
All right. Five books. Fuck me. Jesus Christ, my mind's not blank, but there's definitely read five books in my life. Jesus Christ, I've read five this month, okay? Quitters Never Win. There's a good one.
You cannot name your own fucking book.
Bestseller. Animal Farm. Okay, 1984. Hold on, let me go to my Kindle list, motherfucker. Flip, I just can't think of them off the top of my head, but I've read so many books. Oh my God. It's just bringing up the one I'm on now. 48 Laws of Power.
Did you finish it?
No, I didn't.
We talked about it on the podcast. He started it 6 months ago. I've still got 24
laws left to go. Let me tell you. All the laws of power start to feel the same. I'm like, you're talking to a fucking world champion. Okay, I'm doing all right. I like the first five laws of power. After that, the next 43 kind of went downhill fast. A lot of repetition, baby boy. Oh, I just read The Alchemist. That's a good book. It's very short, but there you go. I just read The Alchemist. Yeah, listening to an audio book, Lewis, is not reading. Just saying.
I mean, I think it's the same thing. If I'm
reading, is listening to an audio book reading? Yes or no?
Yes.
You fucking get out.
Yeah, because look, I've read The 48 Laws of Power and I've listened to The 48 Laws of Power and it's the same exact fucking experience for me.
Well, it would be because you've taken it in twice. You definitely understand it. Do you know what I mean? But you get to look at the words, you get to look at the spelling, the formation of the sentences. You get to understand and appreciate the makeup and the character of the English language, Lewis. The formation of the sentences, the structure of the paragraphs, the meaning of the words and how they painted such a picture.
Oh. I literally hate you.
I know. I hate myself.
You're the fucking worst. He's fucking the worst. He doesn't read. We got to pretend that Bisping reads now.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, okay? I don't pretend to be. I am trying to read a little bit, okay? And you're going to hear about it, okay? Oh, yeah. So I was reading a book recently. Yeah, that's right, reading. Not listening.
Shit.
And yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, we've waffled on for a little bit there. Sundays are the new Mondays, apparently, until Lewis gets fed up of it. And then we'll be back on Tuesday.
Next week, we're back on Monday. Yeah. Let's get real.
It's okay, bro. Listen, I got a lot of alcoholic drinks in front of me.
Rebecca, I want a beer so fucking badly.
I got a few. I got narcotics. She keeps giving me pills for my pain. The knee pain, man, isn't getting better. Two out of three guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they are 35. The good news? Well, with today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription, and it'd be very embarrassing. Oh, hi, doc. I think I might be going bald. They'd be like, get the fuck out of here. I've got people that are dying. You're coming to me. I can't even see the hair loss, but you know, when it's your hair, you look in the mirror every day. You're doing your hair, you got your gel, and you're like, fuck, man, I'm going a little thin on top. You go to the doctor and say that, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to like, certainly if you're in the 50s, they were like, we've just come out of the Second World War, Mr. Bisping. We don't care if you're losing a few hairs at the back of your head. We've got real, real problems right now, Lewis.
We really do. They make it amazing. They make it easy. They do it all online. You don't go to the doctor. You do it online. You get your prescription online. It shows up at your house. You don't have to. This is a new time. This is 2020. You don't have to go and spend your time wasting your time at doctor's office having weird conversations with people about the way that you want to look.
Yeah, you go to the doctors, you're talking about being the 1950s. It's not the 1950s. The fact is, it is the year 2020, and prevention is key. And Keeps treatments really do work. In fact, they are up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you're going to save. So act fast. Many men even experience hair regrowth with Keeps treatments. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention. Okay, so all you got to do is what, Lewis? How did they get involved? How did your little baldiacs, your little gang of bald people that is getting bigger by the day, how do they come on to my team and have hair? What do they do?
You're not going to be an asshole about it. I'll say it. I'll let them know how to do it. All you got to do is go to keeps.com. That's KEEPS.com/believe. BELIEVE. Keeps.com/believe. And we're going to give you your first month for free. Your first month of treatment is free. Once again, that's KEEPS.com/believe. Go try it out. Get some hair in your life. Don't look like me. Look like Bisping. It's a pretty easy choice. All right. Where were we?
Before we get into MMA, I want to ask you about this. I see you're whining and you're bitching and you're complaining. You can't lose the weight, Lewis. You've plateaued, correct?
No, I haven't plateaued. I know what I need to do.
You have specifically plateaued. According to what I watched on the Fight Journal number 9, there's a...
Shout out your kratom.
For the long amount of time that you went on, the word you're looking for to encompass it all is that you plateaued.
I hate the fact that I have to put the Fight Journal out and you watch it sarcastically every time.
No, I didn't watch it. I look at it, I glance at it, I take a dump, and I'm like, yeah, I've seen enough. But you plateaued, buddy.
He mocks my Fight Journal, and I have to do this for the next 6 months. So every week...
There's no mocking. The mocking is yet to start, but for 6 months, oh my God, I could do an extra podcast just breaking down the Fight Journal. It'd be so good. Bonus content all day long. No, it is. So I saw on your thing, you said you started off at what, like 238, 239 pounds, yeah. And you've lost a few?
Yeah, it fluctuates as well because I have so much fat on me and I eat so much salty shit. Like, I will fluctuate. So I weighed at 238 in the first episode, but I'd gone up to like 243 and I've gone down to like 227, but I've been averaging around, I've been 234, 235 pounds. So it's just, I haven't been losing any weight. It's been really fluctuating in the same like 10 pound range.
Yeah, no, it's really annoying. I remember obviously, when I was fighting, training for a fight, and being on weight is a big, big part of it. I'd get out of bed. I'd have fucking hardly anything to eat the day before. I'm running every day. I'm doing 2-3 training sessions a day. And you would get out of bed and you get on the scale and you haven't lost anything. And it's absolutely heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because you've done so much hard work and so much effort. And then sometimes I remember I'd wake up in the night so thirsty. Just wanted a drink so bad, but I didn't want to get on the scale heavy in the morning. Mm. So I would then have a shitty night's sleep all night because I didn't want to take on the water weight. You know what I mean? But then I'd still get on the weight in the morning. Not before I have a good pee though. Every time you must do it. You get out of bed. First thing, you have a good piss, get on the scale. Come on. Think light. Fuck's sake. 218 pounds again, just doesn't seem to go down. It is heartbreaking.
But it's like, I think number one, I think I'm getting older. The metabolism has slowed down. It is just, you know, what I wanted to do this time was be able to eat carbs, you know, just sparingly. I'm not going crazy, just sparingly, like have some potatoes for my breakfast.
I get
lunch.
It. Just eat carbs, like a little cheeseburger here, maybe a dessert there. Of course, everyone's going to have a few beers, so that's fine. Now, of course,
that's not what I mean.
I have some wedding cake. You know, of course.
No, let me explain to you my diet this week, okay? What I would do is, I started cutting out carbs for my last meal of the day altogether. So lunch was the last time I was allowed to have carbs. But if I was having carbs, I was having either potatoes, rice, some sort of grains. It wasn't like processed. It wasn't sugar. It was, and I thought if I did this for a week, I was like, I was really committed to it. I would start to at least drop a little bit of weight with the amount of cardio that I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of cardio, a shit ton of cardio right now. And it has done almost nothing. The only thing that has worked in the past few years is if I completely deplete myself from carbohydrates and I just say, fuck it, I'll just do salads. I'll just do eggs and meat in the morning. I'll do some cheese,
no
I'll
life.
Do some fats.
That's no life.
It sucks. It fucking sucks. And I know, and I've done that before. And I know I did this. Every time I lose weight, I do this sort of diet. It's not necessarily keto because I'm not that strict, but it's really, really low carb, really low sugar. I know that I will lose the weight if I do that, but I want to fucking have potatoes. I should be able to have fucking potatoes in the morning. It's crazy.
Potatoes are bad, man. Potatoes are bad. They're one of the worst for you. Certainly in the morning, Lewis. What do you want? Do you want to be a world-class athlete? You want to be
fucking
Ellis, or do you want to have your potatoes in the morning? Because I'm sorry, you can't have both. Which one is it, Jason? Beating Jason Ellis and victory, or your potatoes, your fucking weaselly little shitty potatoes, okay? They're going to do nothing for you. They're going to provide James with a better future, you know? they're going to set you up for a life of grandeur, you know. But which is it, the glory or the potatoes, Lewis?
I think it's going to have to be the potatoes for the next 3 months, and yeah, then it's going to be 2 months of glory.
I've got to be honest. Me and Rebecca, she's in the corner. She's just having a little listen in. We say it must be nice, you know, to be one of those people. And I don't want to be insulted, but, you know, the type that just don't give a fuck, you know. The ones that just say, yeah, I want a burger today, and I want fries, and I want dessert, and I want a cheesecake. So I'm going to have it. That must be nice. It must be nice. Okay, now, fair enough. When you're dying from a crippling bout of heart disease when you're older, okay, fair enough. But for those few years, it must feel very good.
Just to give up completely? I've tried to do it before.
Fuck it.
I've tried to completely give up and be like, I'm just fat now. It's okay. Let's do it. Just be fat. And the problem is, and I don't know, you probably would have the same thing because you've been an athlete your whole life, but like, I'm so unhappy when I'm out of shape that way. But here's what's funny. I was fat growing up my whole life. I never got into shape until I was in my mid-20s, and I never gave a shit. And then after I got in shape, then I started becoming obsessed with sort of like how I looked and the diet and how I felt. So now that I will get in shape, get out of shape, get in shape, it becomes this thing that I'm always thinking about. But I never gave a fuck before I ever got in shape the first time. So in a weird way, I almost wish I never even gave a fuck to get in shape the first time.
But hold on. I don't follow. So why didn't you give a fuck, but you do give a fuck now? What am I missing?
Okay, so I was fat my whole childhood. Okay, yeah. From like the second grade on, I was fat, like a chunky kid, always chubby, middle school, high school, but always did pretty well with chicks. I wasn't like fucking disgusting fat. It was like I was a bigger guy. You know what I'm saying? I was kind of big. But never really gave a shit. Being in shape was never even a thought. Like I never thought that I could be in shape or be fit, or it was just sort of in my mind, the hand that I was dealt was being a fat guy. Right. And then, you know, I ballooned up to over 300 pounds my first year of college. I moved to New York, become a comedian. My friend Justin, who's a good friend of mine, you know, sort of gave me this sort of diet and exercise plan. And within 6 months, I got in very, very good shape the first time. And after that first time, I had become obsessed with it. So even when I'm not in shape, like I'm not in great shape right now, but I'm always thinking about it, always looking in the mirror, always thinking about the way I look, always, you know.
It's horrible.
It's fucking crazy. But before I ever worked out the first time, it was never a thought to me.
Yeah, no, it is horrible because, like, you know, I mean, I was for the longest part of my life a professional athlete, so I would always train. But even then, in between fights, I'd always let myself go. All right, partly because I lived like an hour and a half away from the gym where I did the MMA training, but still partly because, you know, I like to enjoy myself and I like to eat and I like a drink and I like to just, I don't know, hang out with my mates and have a good time. So I would train for a fight. I would get in super good shape and I'd be very proud of myself. And then in between fights, I'd be like, holy shit. And now that I'm retired, I have more of a, you know, a steady maintenance, if you will. But even still, I get out of bed all the time because in our bathroom, one side of it's like all the closets. So it's like a big wall of mirrors. You know what I mean? So as you walk to the bathroom to take a piss,
you do like
get a good look of yourself. Do you know what I mean? Because I always sleep naked as well because I'm in the pants. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm getting fatter, okay? They've hurt my waistline. I don't know what it is. These underpants, they used to be fine, but now they hurt my waistline. So maybe I'm just getting bigger. But anyway, so my point is you got to walk along and you see the fucking wall of mirrors, don't you, babe? And you see it and you're like, oh, God, I wish I didn't have that fucking wall of mirrors, because yeah, it is it's a little, not soul destroying, that's a bit much, but you're just like, oh, all right, I gotta do better this week. But Monday I'm gonna start, and I always put it off to the next day.
Yeah, but there are people in the world that just walk around and they go, dude, I'm gonna fucking eat pizza. Like if I were to get pizza, like I have to eat it alone in like a closed walls, not around people. Like I would feel like a piece of shit if I had like a piece of pizza at a park and people were watching me eat it. I would feel like a fat fucking slob.
No. Now you're doing a disservice to pizza and to pizza lovers all over the world. I can't allow you to do that, Lewis. Listen, it's a slice of pizza, for fuck's sake. You're not injecting yourself with heroin. You know, you're allowed.
But it kind of is. If you see me eating a fucking slice of pizza, pizza's different because pizza's too good, right? Pizza's, everyone has pizza once in a while. If you see me eating a fucking candy bar, just realize that I'm unhappy.
If I was raised on candy bars.
I know. If I'm having a Snickers bar, just realize, like, oh, there's something going on with Lewis right now. He gave in because it's not even good chocolate. It's not even, like, quality shit. Like, I've given in and I've given up to a certain degree if I'm eating a Snickers bar.
That's interesting. So the writing on the wall is, if Lewis is eating a Snickers bar, stay away because he's pissed off. Because I have that, right? Because I feel like I have.
Isn't that a Snickers commercial?
No, but I feel like, well, no, it is. Yeah, if you eat it, then you're not angry anymore. But I feel like I have a pretty descriptive face, certainly when I'm fucking angry, right? And when I'm very angry, because I do have a bad temper, and I'm trying to work on it all the time. Rebecca's going to find me a therapist, actually. So, you know, Michael Bisping 2.0 coming up. I've been telling Rebecca for a long time. Find me a therapist, Rebecca. I won't find one by myself, okay?
Find me a fucking therapist, woman.
For fuck's sake, if you don't find me a fucking therapist, I'm going to smash your face in. Okay? Totally reasonable request. No. What was I going to say? What were we talking about? Yeah, no. I totally lost my train of thought because I was being silly, giving her shit. But yeah, yeah. Like my face. If you're eating a Snicker, and you tell it you're angry. Sometimes I feel like my face, you can clearly see when I'm fucking angry. And people come over and start asking you the stupidest things. And it's like, hold on a minute. Look at my body language right now. I'm in a public place. I'm fuming. I've just, whatever's going on the phone. I've had a bad phone. I'm like, I'm pissed. My arms are folded. My head's down. I'm scolding. I've got smoke coming out of my fucking ears, and I'm saying fuck every 3 seconds under my breath. That body language would say to somebody, do not walk over and try to sell some fucking faster Wi-Fi or something to this guy. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless you have a Snickers. If you have a Snickers to give to him, then...
then they would have known.
Then we're good. Then we're money.
That's all I had to do. Anyway, all right. Talking about nothing, really. Saturday night, we had the UFC. Main event, Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana. Lewis, what do you want to say about this?
Yeah, it was a good fight. I ended up watching it on my way home after shows on Saturday night. You know what's so weird? When I drive now, I get like... I found out it's a real condition. Like the road, it was called road hypnosis or some shit, but it like puts you to sleep. Like the lines on the road, the repetitiveness, it actually like lulls you to sleep. So that happens to me every time I drive more than an hour. It could be in the middle of the day, whatever it is. So I started driving and I actually pulled over just to watch the fight because I was like, well, I need to take a break.
Hardcore. Just be honest, Lewis. You're just a hardcore Irene Aldana fan.
That's what it is. No,
just level.
I was wearing my Aldana t-shirt. And I mean, yeah, look, all I got to say is that we don't know shit. Brian once again proves that he is the fucking king supreme.
No. You just skipped forward past all the content that we're going to break down and the fight and all the rest of it and just bigging up Brian. No.
I got to big up Brian.
Brian picked Holly Holm, but that was before I knew that... Irene Aldana didn't know how to stick to a game plan or formulate a game plan or counter a game plan which she was facing from her opponent. What am I talking about, Lewis? Tell me, what am I talking about?
So, yeah, what you're talking about is the fact that Holly just essentially did the same thing over and over again, rinse, repeat, 5 rounds in a row. Yes. You know, and there was no shift. Holly didn't need to shift. Irina needed to shift, and she didn't. She did nothing except get taken down Holly over and over again.
Holly had a great game plan, and by the way, she carried it out perfectly. She maintained very disciplined throughout it. She did what she needed to do to win. She was in excellent condition, but she was clearly on her bike for 5 rounds. She was moving to her left, okay, and circling around the perimeter of the octagon the entire time. And so that meant that Aldana was chasing her. So Aldana was chasing her, and as she was chasing, she'd throw a sidekick, she'd throw a spinning back kick, she'd sometimes throw a 1-2, whatever it was, and then she'd get on her back again. And it was always the circular movement, always chasing around. And Irene, we'll call her, Irene was always following around, right? It was so simple what she had to do. 4 words. Cut off the fucking cage. That's 5. I just had to throw one in there. Here's your cage. It's not. It's my mouse mat. It's the moon.
It's my cage.
I like the stars. I'm a deep guy. You know, I ponder upon the universes, Lewis. So if I'm looking at my mouse, you know, if I'm going to use a mouse mat, it's going to resemble one of the planets, you know.
Or the moon.
Or the moon, you know, one of our many moons, solar moons. Anyway, so look, here's Holly. right? She's running around there. She just had to cut the cage off, move left, hold on, or move right. Move right, cut the cage off. She was following the whole time. And if you cut the cage off, and what I mean by that is just step to the right. It's hard here now, but if can we see? She's moving around here, and Irene's here. Holly's coming there. All Irene had to do was just sidestep over here and cut the cage off. Don't follow her round, cut the cage off. And then as Holly tries to go that way, you cut it off a bit more. And then all of a sudden, you got Holly fighting in a little part of the octagon up here. She's got nowhere to go. But, you know, with her game, she had all of the moon. She had the entire moon to operate, Lewis.
With five rounds, though, I mean, how much do you blame her corner, though? Because, I mean, obviously, as a fighter, she has to, you know, recognize that opportunity as well. But you have a corner there for a reason.
Didn't hear anybody talk about cutting off the cage. I didn't hear cornermen. I didn't hear commentators. I didn't hear bloody anybody. Nobody was talking off about cutting off the fucking cage. And it's very simple. The first rule is that you don't fucking chase somebody like that. Another thing, and by the way, I'm a big fan of Irene Aldana. That's why I picked her to win. And, you know, and she has a lot of promise, you know. So it was just a tactical thing. It was a tactical approach that made it all wrong. Another thing as well, like, Holly knew Irene was going to come forward and pressure. So therefore, she formulated the game plan that utilized so much movement, which, again, worked fantastic. I'm not slagging off Holly Holm here. I'm saying all Irene had to do, another thing she had to do, stop chasing her. Stop going forward. If you stop in your tracks, what's Holly going to do? Just keep fucking circling the perimeter of the cage? No, because you're not going forward. So therefore, she doesn't have to move away. And if she's not moving away, then maybe you can start to get into a proper striking battle. So there was just a couple of things that Irene wanted to win so badly, she almost had the blinders on. She wasn't able to see what was right in front of her. So it was just stop chasing her and just cut the fucking cage off. And then now you can fight properly. But Holly is a veteran, but Holly's smart. She's got tons of experience. She's got excellent coaches around her. And Holly did exactly what she needed to do. And I'll say she looked fantastic. It's not a detriment to Holly Holm whatsoever. I thought she was absolutely outstanding. But Irene just, you know, she could have made that a different fight. I'm not saying she could have won. I'm not saying she could have won, but she could have made that a very different fight by simply doing two things. One, cut off the fucking cage. And two, if that didn't work, just don't chase her.
Yeah, I guess her corner kept on repeating that she was down and lost the round and had to keep fighting smarter. I remember at one point they said to move forward, which is, you know, the opposite advice of what Bisping was just saying.
Move backwards. Move backwards. Hey, I'm just going to throw it out there. You've been saying go forward for 24 minutes and 38 seconds. Try this. Go backwards. Like, well, it can't be done, can it? That's madness. It's insanity. Just do it. Just do it. Yeah, it should have done that, maybe. But yeah, Holly Holm got the victory. Well done to her. And she looked good. She did. She looked great as ever. Early in the night, we saw Jermaine Durandamé. She had another good victory. She beat, what's her face? Fuck me. Rebecca, what's her face? Juliana Pena. Thank you, Rebecca. Juliana Pena. And she looked really sensational with the striking. And then it was actually a third round guillotine that she got her with. She choked her up with the third round guillotine. And I think Jermaine versus Holly, that's probably a logical matchup because I don't think anyone's calling for Holly for another title shot just yet. And certainly not for Jermaine. So them two fighting, you never know, Lewis. Maybe we get another contender out of this.
There you go, baby boy. Sounds good. You know what I'm saying? Sounds fun. Where'd you watch the fight Saturday?
I watched them here on my balcony. Ooh. So this is a new thing in our house. We have a balcony. Rebecca's laughing in the background. We just started using the balcony. I don't know why we've lived there almost 10 years. We're moving guaranteed next year to Pasadena. Only problem is half mansions are more expensive in Pasadena than what
you're gonna have to get a third mansion.
Don't know if I can do it, but it's slowing things down. Let me tell you, because I see your house, I'm like, this is awesome. I just want this in Pasadena. But if I want this in Pasadena for that price, we're gonna lose this. We're gonna lose that. We're gonna lose a bedroom. We're gonna lose maybe the pool. I'm like,
can't lose the pool.
What's more important? What's more important?
Pool.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm not losing the pool. The pool stays all day.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What got me on top?
You probably use the unused balcony. You don't really need.
Oh yeah, no, but the balcony. No, we just started hanging out on the balcony. We got it all done up nice. We got some pots and plants on there. We got a nice little couch, and we've got the TV in the bedroom, which is on a swivel thing, so we can see it. So we're watching the fights on the balcony, Lewis, Ooh. And it's the future.
It's nice.
Where'd you watch the fights?
I told you, I watched them on my phone.
On your phone.
Yeah, just on my phone. Yeah, but I did have people over last week for the fights. Brand new 65-inch TV. It's kind of nice.
Ooh, what brand you go for?
I went for the Sony.
Oh,
I know you were telling me Samsung, but this fucking
fuck Samsung TVs.
It's okay. Fuck Samsung. Never mind.
No, seriously. No, I like them. Nearly all the TVs in our house are Samsung, but they do fuck up a lot. They do glitch. But value for money is there. Okay, all right. We're looking at some of these notes now because that was the main event Saturday night. Congrats to Holly Holm. You know, always been a contender. Well, she was the champion as well, and she's still not slowing down, so well done to her. Colby Covington says that he's interested in derailing Khamzat Chimaev's hype train. Here says Colby. I don't even know who that is. I remember somebody saying that there was some kid on my prelims that was fighting and he had a bunch of hype on him. He had fought a guy that was ranked top 50 in the world. They didn't even bring me in the building until the co-main event. So I didn't see the prelims and this kid that you speak of. But if he gets some ranked wins and he becomes somebody, come see me. I'm the greatest fighter in the world. I'm not looking to avoid anybody. I'm looking to beat everybody and anyone in the way. So you want to bring that hype machine behind these kids and think they are great and they can do this and that. That hype train will get halted in a second if they come and see Colby Covington.
Good. I like it. I like it. All too often, and maybe he's just talking shit and he's doing the right move. Maybe he would never take that fight because it doesn't make sense and it'd be probably fucking stupid for him to take that fight. However, you're supposed to say that you're the best. You're supposed to say that, put anybody in front of me. And that is a great, he has it at the very least. He has enough sort of, self-awareness to go, okay, that is who I need to be. The guy who's willing to fight anybody, anywhere, anytime, whatever the ranking is, it doesn't matter. So whether it's true, I don't know. If it's marketing, I don't know, but he definitely has the right idea.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because that's what you got to do. You're constantly posturing as a fighter. You know what I mean? Now, of course, like, you know, if you are a John Jones or a Mike Tyson or, you know, like a guy that is undoubtedly the best in the world, you know, and even if you're not undoubtedly the best in the world, if you believe in yourself to be the best, you know, then that should be the approach that you have. I'll take on all comers at any time, anywhere, any place. And that's kind of how I was. And I did truly believe in that. But also that's why you have managers and trainers and things like that, because they kind of guide you in it from a different perspective. And then somebody like Colby or any fighter, right? So Colby, we spoke about it on the last show. He's getting matched up now with Jorge Masvidal, right? That's what they're talking about. That's what Dana's talking about. So he can talk all the shit he wants about Khamzat Chimaev because he's not going to get matched up. So therefore, the fact that he's matched up now with Masvidal gives him an insurance policy. You know what I'm saying? He can now talk shit about Khamzat because that fight isn't going to get made. You know what I mean? Because you have got to be careful. So if you're booked up against somebody, you can talk shit. If you're not booked up, you got to be careful with the shit talk because that might come and bite you in the ass. Because I guarantee Colby is a great fighter and all the shtick aside and all the bullshit and all whatever the controversy, you know, you can't deny the fact he's a tremendous world-class talent in the octagon. That's a fact. But also, I don't know if he wants to take on like someone like Khamzat because he hasn't really earned that spot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he hasn't. And, you know, I'll sort of repeat what I said before. It's like, I don't know that I buy it from Colby. Colby seems to be a showman and seems to be constantly posturing and constantly thinking about how to market himself. But yeah, I mean, the other side of it is this. He probably, and you know, right? Like, Khamzat has a ton of fucking heat right now. I haven't seen Dana White speak about any fighter that way ever. Like that early, especially like, I mean, Conor McGregor was somebody who I remember them pushing super early and being like, oh shit, this guy must have a ton of hype because I remember the UFC being like, they were saying crazy shit about Conor super early. And I was like, all right, they really want to see this guy do some shit. And Khamzat sort of has that similar thing about him. Right. And maybe Colby just recognized that and goes, cool, this guy's going to end up being a star. let me preliminarily set this up right now because I have the Masvidal fight. I win the Masvidal fight. I have a real case right now to go fight again for the title. There's an opportunity there. But Khamzat's star is only going to continue to rise. His stock is only going to continue to rise. So set those seeds up early. And then if Khamzat comes into his own and becomes that dude, well, guess what? You have this long storied, massive fight ready to go. And if Colby's really the fighter he thinks he is, he can beat any man in front of him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll tell you what's going to be interesting now going forward, seeing what the UFC do with Khamzat, because right now he's competing at 185 and at 170, which is cool. And he's, you know, he sells his badassery, for want of a better expression. You know, this guy will fight at any weight class, but at some point when he starts closing the distance on the top 10, the top five, people like that, when he starts getting laser focused on being the champion, now who knows, maybe he's got the ability to be a double champ down the line, you know, but at some point he's got to make the commitment to either weight class. He's going to either say, I'm a middleweight or I'm a 170. I doubt the UFC are going to let him continue with that for much longer. But still, either way, we'll see how that one plays out. John Jones, Israel Adesanya. If you're an MMA fan and you're on Twitter and you go to Twitter and you look at your timeline, then I feel like it's impossible to not have seen John Jones and Israel Adesanya talking shit. Have you seen that, Lewis? This phenomenon that I speak of?
I've not been on their timeline in the past day. In the past day. So if anything else
this
has happened,
going back months.
A month, yes, obviously. Yes, I've been watching them talking shit. Has anything new occurred in the past day?
This is where we need Harrington, but still, because he would come on and say, oh, yeah, yeah, I need to have like a headband on. I need to have some shades. He'd be trying to look like you, but it'd fail because you're cool. He's not. Oh.
I mean, there's not much new to tell. It's just a bunch of guys talking smack at each other.
Harrington, you make the fucking effort to come on with your mask on. Break down. Tell Lewis, your boss, your hero, your number one guy, your reason for living. Tell Lewis what is going on in the Israel and the fucking Jones situation. Don't make me become Mike Harrington. That's not what I'm here to do.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of talk about families getting involved pretty early in that one. Apparently, you know, Izzy came out, told that story about how his dad told him to ditch the pink hair because it's going to make him super easy to counter. You know, John Jones asked what his dad was going to say about.
Hold on. Can you ask these very disrespectful people in the background to just be a little quiet?
I wish I could, man. I wish I could.
No, you could. Just give it a try. Just see what they say. Just say,
quiet down over there, guys. Guys, stop the show you're doing. I'm doing another show.
No, say Michael Bisping specifically says.
Michael Bisping says, shut the fuck up, specifically.
seemed to quiet down a bit.
See, I'm not even there. Imagine the power that I wield in person, Lewis. It's crazy. Anyway, go on, carry on.
So like I said, they got to the family stuff pretty early. That was like the biggest check mark, you know, Jones saying, you know, what is his dad going to, you know, give him advice on how to beat Jones. And they've been arguing about who has the skinnier legs, who's the real skinny guy. You know, so it's just been heating up constantly there. And, you know, I think as you were about to get to, certain people are jumping in and taking notice.
But wasn't there something from, I don't know which one it was, who mentioned somebody's dead parent?
I don't know about that. I will look into that.
Something to do with John Jones's mom dying or something like that. Or maybe it was the other way around. I'm not sure. I saw some kind of write-up somewhere about a dead parent.
Ooh.
I'll fact check that.
Shots fired too far.
Shots fired, bro. You know what I mean? In this game, people are having fun. They're saying a few things. They're being off the cuff. They're just saying a few remarks. First thing that pops into the head.
Is there anything too far when it's a dead parent? Bisping, do you think there's anything that's too far with shit talking in the fight game? Or can you name an example of when you think somebody may have taken it too far?
It's all fair game, because guess what? If you're going to say something that is so what they deem to be over the line, then guess what? It's doing the job perfect, isn't it? Because that's what you're trying to do. Yeah, all right. Upset. I guess you're trying to sell a fight or whatever. But you know, it is also psychological warfare, and you are trying to rattle your opponent, and you are trying to get them to act out of character, certainly fight out of character. So listen, You want to mention a fucking dead mom and dad here and there? Go ahead. Who am I to judge?
It's also like, I don't know, I have dead parents. It would just make me laugh if somebody made fun of my dead parents.
Yeah, I know. They'd be like, what the fuck? This guy's got, he's got no heart. What's his problem?
Okay, Izzita Jones, your mom would be disappointed in who you've become. That's not really making fun of dead parent. That I understand how it's a little.
Oh, is that
like,
what it was? That's what it was. So Israel said to John Jones, "Well, so John Jones's mom is dead. I'm assuming."
Mm.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Your mom would be disappointed in who you've become.
Well,
I understand like why it's a little disrespectful, but it's just like number one, that's not the same thing as saying like go fuck your dead mother.
Yeah. Sort of no, it's not. It's not. They are kind of different, but still, it is bringing it up. But anyway, either way, Dana White is all about this now because Dana White has chimed in, of course, being the president, and he's open to the Jones versus Adesanya super fight. He said that is a fight that makes 100% sense. I think a fight between those two is massive. It doesn't depend on what I want. It depends on what they want to do. Adesanya is the champ. He's really coming into his own, and you can tell. He knows this is his house, and he comes here and he acts like it. I think he wants the winner of Whittaker and Cannonier, and then we'll see what happens after that. And then speaking of Izzy, Harrington says, UFC 253 did over 700,000 pay-per-view buys, making it the third biggest seller this year behind Conor and Cowboy and Masvidal Usman. Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice work by all involved.
That fight was incredible. And, you know, Izzy is definitely becoming a star. He's the, you know, and.
Look, all right. Who wins? Jones, Israel,
Jones,
right
Jones,
now. Who wins?
Jones.
Brian, the Oracle.
Come on.
Brian, the Oracle McKay.
Come on.
I mean, John Jones wins that on terms of physics alone.
Well said. Yeah. And I think that's what it comes down to here. I think definitely, you know, Israel, certainly after what he did against Paulo Costa, he's got the speed advantage. He looked like fucking lightning. The only thing is, I do believe they have weight classes for a reason. Well, they do have weight classes for a reason. He's just a bigger guy. He's a stronger guy. He's got more well-rounded skill set because Israel has excellent takedown defense, but Jones also has good takedown offense as well as defense. So it's not disrespectful to Israel to say this, but you got to go with Jones. You know what I mean? But honestly, I wouldn't be that surprised now if Izzy was to pull it off. You know, it's not the first time I would get a pit wrong and I'm picking Jones there, you know, at this stage. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised because Izzy could fucking surprise anybody.
Yeah, and honestly, Israel Adesanya's look better and better, right? So who knows? He's unbeaten. Nobody's beaten the guy before. John Jones is unbeaten. You could see, you know, the one loss against Matt Hamill, stupid, fluke, right? Unbeaten. John Jones never been beaten. Even when you, the ones where they go, oh, Dominic Reyes beat him or Alexander Gustafsson. No, they didn't. Okay. They were close fights, but they still didn't beat him. Okay. And the Gustafsson rematch, Jones came back and won, you know, handily. So I can't. It is really difficult to actually pick with any sort of like real data. All you got to say is they both look basically unbeatable. John Jones is larger, more physically dominating, and has a more well-rounded skill set, right? With the wrestling advantage, ground advantage. I think that will play a major factor because John Jones could take it down if he wants to.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. But Jones is also older. You know, that is another factor as well. I'm not saying older to the point where it would be detrimental, but still definitely older. And therefore that would make a difference. But we'll see how that one plays out. You got to think that Dana's sitting there though, loving this, you know, can't wait to make the matchup. I mean, that is a big fight.
Something changed, right? A few years ago, it was almost like the UFC seemed like they did not want to set up these super fights and these champion versus champion fights. It seemed like they were trying to avoid it. They were like, no, we have marketable champions. We want to keep them that way, not have them lose to each other. But it just became the egos of the champions seemed to get so big. They wanted to be champ. They wanted to, you know, be, you know, champions of multiple weight classes. And they were like, well, fuck it. You got to let them fight. And at this point, it's become sort of the new thing. These massive, massive super fights.
Yeah. But well, I think because it makes bigger stars out of everybody involved. You know what I mean? Not to mention the UFC probably make a ton of money. You know, I mean, I know historically most of those super fights do generate massive pay-per-view numbers. So therefore, everybody involved is doing well. Both champions are doing well. Certainly the organization is doing well. And I feel like anytime you're involved in this, an event of that spectacle, of that magnitude, yeah, everyone's star increases. All right, now, fair enough, one of those fighters is going to lose. But still, when it's against another champion, even though the star grows because more people are watching, I feel that the detrimental factor, you know, the negative factor of losing the belt to another champion themselves in another weight class isn't that bad. So I feel like maybe that's why the UFC have got on board more. And they're like, hold on a minute, this is just a win-win for everybody involved. Of course, someone is going to lose the belt, but overall, in the grand scheme of things, their star power has just got bigger and bigger on the world stage. So therefore, let's just fucking do it. Let's make those fights, baby boy. What do you want to do, Lewis? What do you want to talk about? You got anything pressing on your mind?
Nothing pressing. Let's get a little bit more time here. I know we had some more topics. Do we want to hammer fist with Harrington and maybe do questions on a Thursday show?
I mean, we could do that. I think generally Mondays is the question.
Do we have the questions prepped is really the question.
This is the thing. Brian, we're here to throw it on you like this, just like unexpected, you know. But I mean, listen, let's put it like this. Let's ask it another way. How good of a producer are you? Can you produce questions like that?
Well, I'm pretty good, but nobody sent in any video questions since the last episode.
Wow. Well, let's do plugs real quick. If you want to join the conversation.
Fuck the plugs. Listen, every fucking one of you watching this right now, bympod@gmail.com. Why doesn't Brian cut his hair? Why doesn't Lewis ever take his hat off? Why won't Harrington have a shower? Why does Michael Bisping get better and better looking by the fucking day? There are just four questions that you could ask. bympod@gmail.com. Send those fuckers in. And guess what? If you want free access to past episodes, Lewis, tell them how they can do that.
You guys can go right now, castdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code BYM, get the entire on-demand library, every episode we've ever done. That's the best way to enjoy the show, is just binge watch all the episodes like it's fucking Game of Thrones, baby boy. Just go start from the beginning. You guys could also subscribe on our YouTube channel, click the notification button to find out when new episodes are premiering, and go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating, a positive review. Tell some friends about the show. That always helps us out and lets everyone know about us.
So you were saying you were watching Jaws. Did James like it?
He did. He enjoyed it. I will say it's rated PG, but the first scene of Jaws, the very first scene of Jaws, I'm goddamn near positive you see a chick's tits. It's like silhouetted, but it's like, it's pretty damn, there was no PG-13 back then. Thank you very much for Harrington in the chat. Confirm that.
Harrington in the fucking chat doesn't send me anything. I'm just saying, Harrington. Why don't I get that shit? I'm telling you, he just sends you shit. Lewis, you must feel special. Don't send it now, Harrington. Don't insult me like that. I just see it popped up. You know what I mean? How does it feel to have somebody that worships you so much?
It's pretty amazing. I got to be honest with you. You have a family. You have a wife. I have my son and I have Harrington. That's all I got.
I have two dogs that fucking relentlessly shit constantly. And
it's also how
shit,
I describe Harrington.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. Yeah. No, by the way, a lot of people in the YouTube section, Lewis, when we first spoke about Alfie's ailments, the ascapades, like, oh, you need to put that dog down. You're being very selfish. Oh, just so you can buy yourself a little bit more time with it. Well, guess what? Fuck faces. He's doing all right. He's doing good. He's shitting. He's living his life. He's happy. He's running up and down. He's smiling. He's got a wag on his tail. He's got a little saliva drooping. He's fucking happy as fuck. And all you pieces of shit wanting me to put him down? Shame on you. Don't you think there's enough people dying right now from the coronavirus? But you want me to put my dog down on top? You know what I'm saying, Lewis? Who the fuck are these people?
I don't even know what to believe. I mean,
what do you mean? You think I'm lying about my dog being alive? I'm still shitting.
I mean, your dog could be dead right now. He never doesn't like being wrong. He doesn't like being wrong. He would fucking Weekend at Bernie's his dog for the next month and just pretend for it to be alive, just
come
to be
here,
right.
Buddy. Come on, up. Come on, up. Look at this boy. Look at that. I mean,
hold on. How do I know he's really alive, though? How do I know that's not a carcass?
That's a beautiful beast of a dog. Yeah, go on, get out of here. Look at
just
that.
Just got shit all over your leg.
He wanted me to put him down. I couldn't believe it. Put him down, they said. No, I will not put my dog down. We're watching The Boys right now. You ever watch The Boys, Lewis?
I watched season one, and then I watched the first two episodes of season two.
No, did you give up on episode two?
We'll see. I got to get into it. My problem is I don't watch TV. So when I watch it by myself, I go to bed, I turn it on, and then in 4 minutes, I'm sleeping.
What do you want me to tell you? You got a short attention span?
That's it. I'm falling asleep everywhere. On the road, during the podcast, when I go to bed, I feel like you're
falling asleep now. Let's be honest, Lewis.
I've been fucking killing it today. The amount of jokes that I've told that have flown over your fucking head because you're worried about Alfie's asshole.
Well, I was going to say, because I don't recall one of them.
I've been fucking killing it.
Bring me back. Bring me back. Put me there.
I want everyone in the comments to, I want you to timestamp your favorite Lewis J. Gomez jokes from today's episode. Give me one.
One of the great jokes. I don't need to relive
them. That's not the way the comedy works.
A little bit of the greatness, Lewis, that you just choose to bestow.
The Weekend at Bernie's joke that I just told about your dumb dog.
Yeah, I know. But I've seen Weekend at Bernie's when I was like 12. Okay.
He's
a little
dead.
Shaky.
So you're
a little shaky on the details.
Your dog's
weekend
dead
at
and
fucking Bernie's, Lewis.
It was a solid ref. Up front, the first reference of the show.
What was it again?
You wouldn't give it to me. Oh, yeah. 5, 4, 3.
It's not a joke. It's not a joke. The Rebecca, reference. Every time we do a little video, is that what we do? Yeah, exactly.
Ask her what movie made that famous.
She will not know. Ask her, Rebecca, what movie made that famous? Well, exactly. It's a retarded question. You can't say that, but still it is.
What are you talking about?
What movie do you think that could possibly be?
What made it famous, though? They made a joke out of it.
What made it famous? It didn't make it famous. He thinks it made it famous. It didn't make it famous. He's talking about Trainspotting. See,
Wayne's World. Wayne's World.
Yeah, I was looking at the picture. Yeah, poster of Trainspotting. I meant Wayne's World. How do you... I've never seen Wayne's. You don't fucking know me, but they do that in Trainspotting as well, pal. So they do. So they fucking do, mate. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. All right. Well, listen, I guess we'll leave this one there, shall we?
This has been fun.
Well, so much fun. Lewis is exhausted. Harrington's fucking
I've been
Halloween
awesome.
Party.
Everyone's going to comment about how I was on point.
Brian doesn't want to be here. I'm the only guy that showed up. You know, I got my tracksuit top on and everything. I'm ready to go.
I'm here.
Yeah, you are, Brian. I feel like it's me and you against the world. Look at Lewis. See the grin off your face, Lewis. Come on. A little bit of... You know, let's have a bit of commitment, baby boy, to the show.
I'm going. I'm going to sleep. You guys are the fucking shit. Thank you for the believers, the supporters, the non-fans out there. Bisping has switched to wine, apparently. In the middle of the episode, you know it's a problem because he went from beer to wine. Rebecca's going to get beat tonight.
In a second. There was no questions. There was none. I have it there. Lined up, you know what I mean? I'll start to burp on air. This is the thing, Lewis. I switched to a non-carbonated alcoholic beverage because I expected now to get into the real issues of today. I expected to break down some of the larger things that are affecting us as a race, as individuals. That's why I put on my intellectual cap and switched to a nice Cabernet Sauvignon. But still, you want to wrap it up. It's fine. Just cork that back up. It was a very expensive bottle, by the way, we just opened. But still, it's the Snoop Dogg at 19 Crimes. Snoop Dogg has his own chain of wine out now with 19 Crimes. It's very good. And on that note, you can all go fuck yourself.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll be back on Thursday with another great show. Until then, have a great week. Peace.